Responding to the Great Reset with great resistance. We definitely are living in an age of the Great Reset. From all over the globe, though, resistance to the New World Disorder is rising. What is at stake with the Great Reset? And what can we do in this fight for the faith, for our families, for freedom, and for the future? Truth does not fear investigation. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." In 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, we read of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel should do. We need to understand the times that we live in. The Great Reset is the name of a book written by the founder and leader of the World Economic Forum, a Klaus Schwab, who also has written The Fourth Industrial Revolution. Now, the book, The Great Reset, articulates how United Nations Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 will radically restructure everything throughout the whole world. Now, Agenda 21, it's 21 for the 21st century, which we're in now, but they crafted the term Agenda 21 in 1992 at the Rio Earth Summit. And basically, amongst the goals was to save the planet, you've got to deny most of the earth to humans and confine people mainly in cities, urban settlements, and prevent people needing motorized transport. So simplify things that people can walk or cycle and so on, or use mass transportation, but basically to get rid of private farms, private transport, and to make everyone dependent on the state. Now, Agenda 21 is a program that's run by the United Nations for what they call sustainable development. And they've got 40 chapters in this document, and it's designed as the philosophy to bring all human beings on the globe under the control of a very narrow elite, basically concentrated in the United Nations and ancillary groups. It elevates nature above mankind and contains a little ditty called the precautionary principle, where you are guilty till proven innocent, which violates our Christian principle of being innocent till proven guilty. Basically, Agenda 21 wants to end national sovereignty. No more nations. Abolish private ownership of property. You will own nothing and you will be happy. You must be happy. The restructuring of the family unit. By that, they mean the abolition of the family. Increased restrictions and limitations on mobility. No private transport. Hence, make fuel incredibly expensive. Put more and more tax on fuel so that people find it more and more difficult to have private transport. So it depends on state transport, general transport, or that you walk or use a bicycle. Human beings are to be basically urbanized, get them out of the rural areas, abolish farms, move people into urban settlement zones, as they call it. And basically, they don't want any irrigation. That's why they don't even want you to have a borehole on your property, even though the water you may use in your garden, it goes back to the same groundwater, but no, that makes you independent. Therefore, they wanted to get rid of even grazing livestock. Trouble is, if people in farms, they can feed themselves, they can be independent, and they don't need the state. You can't have that. So you could call the Great Reset the Great Revolution. So when you see the word reset, just think revolution. And the goal is ultimately a global welfare state where everybody will be dependent upon a globalist state for everything. Now, they've put 17 sustainable development goals, and it all looks great. No poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education. I mean, this all just sounds great, and you could just, I think, you know, applause at the end of each one. However, somebody who's analyzed this has put it better. Welfare dependence is number one. GMOs, genetically modified seeds. You know, the thing about the genetically modified is it doesn't produce seeds that you can use again. You've got to go back and get new ones. It can't reseed itself. Forced vaccinations is what they mean for good health. Mass indoctrination is what they mean by education. Destroy the family unit is what they mean by gender equality. Water rationing is what they mean when they say clean water and sanitation. They talk about water rationing. You know, think Cruella de Vil and the water crisis we had in Cape Town just some years ago. We're still paying 800% water tariff on the drought that ended 4 years ago in Cape Town, by the way. I'd like to see the DA address that one. Smart grid surveillance and massive increase of inflation. Your money's got to get less and less worthwhile. Basically destroy people's savings and earnings. Restricted transport. Communism, basically. You know, what they call reduced inequalities. That's a nice word for communism. Prison cities, because they want you in what they call sustainable cities. Sustainable cities, another word for prison cities. Or smart cities is another term they like to use. A planned economy is what they mean when they say responsible consumption and production. It's not what you think. It's not responsible at all. Energy rationing, of course, they want. Think load shedding, which is a lot of nonsense. Load shedding suggests you've got so much of it, you're giving some away free. What they mean by load shedding is what we understand as a blackout or a power failure. But load shedding makes sense to them, but it's, of course, nonsensical. They want to control wildlife, they want to control resources, and when they say peace, justice, and strong institutions, think perpetual war. And when they're speaking about partnership for the goals, think global government. I mean, that's what Agenda 21 is. It'll necessitate the abolition of faith, families, and nations. Because the goal is a one-world government with a one-world interfaith religion and a one-world global economy. Which sounds remarkably like Revelation 13. The Great Reset has a social Darwinian view of political progress. In common with the Big Bang Theory, these globalists believe that by burning everything down, out of the ashes, utopia will arise. I mean, why not? If everything you see around you came about from a Big Bang, you know, once upon a time there was nothing, and then there was something, and that something became everything. How? Well, it was a big explosion of nothing, and everything came out of it, including planets, the Earth, the Sun, the Moon, dinosaurs, giraffes, platypus, ducks, and all that stuff. So basically, if you can just burn down enough things and blow up enough things, what's the result? It'll be good, won't it? And Marxist revolutionaries have thought like this for a very long time. If you blow up enough things and if you burn down enough things, then paradise will be established. In 1987, in Frankfurt at Kirchentag, I heard Alan Busack declare, out of the ashes of Pretoria will arise the new Jerusalem. I see we've got some people from Pretoria. I don't know what you would think about that, that, you know, just burn Pretoria down to the ground and, you know, utopia will come out of it. But that was what Alan Busack was saying. And there was a lot of cheering, amens, and applause for that genocidal comment. In accordance with Sabbataianism, these revolutionaries believe that evolution leads to revolution. And it's true, it makes sense. Survival of the fittest and all of that sort of thing. You know, billions of things have to die to produce life, that kind of mentality. And so evolution does lead to revolution. That's a quote from Stalin, by the way. And so you must blow up and burn down the existing order so you can build back better. By the way, that's not a term that Biden thought out. That's not a Democrat slogan. They stole that from the UN. They stole it out of Agenda 21. But Agenda 21 stole it from the Sabbateans and from Sabbatai Zevi back in 1666. So this Build Back Better, it's got a long and disgraceful track record. Build Back Better is what they mean of destroy everything that exists now. So according to the globalists, pushing what they call the Great Reset in the future, you will own nothing and you will be happy. You will like it and you will be happy. That's what they say, they insist. You will have no privacy, by the way. Everything will change, they say. And yet somehow the advocates of this communist vision of the future, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, International Monetary Fund, they have decreed you will be happy. Now, all of this came about in Rio de Janeiro in 1992 at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, Rio de Janeiro. And you had all the usual suspects, including George H. Bush. And the Great Reset basically is a globalist pipe dream that aims to transform the world and everything in it. I mean, these people would make excellent villains in any James Bond novel because, you know, they really want to destroy everything and rebuild everything, just like many of the stereotypical villains in a James Bond novel. Supposedly, this is for the benefit of the masses, but it's really for the benefit of the ruling class. The Great Reset aims to fundamentally re-engineer industries and societies and education and agriculture relationships. They even want to re-engineer human beings. And Thabo Mbeki was thrilled to launch this in 2002, a Salaf conversion of the Great Reset of Agenda 21. And in June of 2012, they gathered again a United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development. They called it Rio.20, and this was now where they adopted Agenda 2030. And Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 are related. It's like the next generation. They're going further, deeper, even more bold, more ambitious, more unbelievably intrusive. Now, its advocates like World Economic Forum leader Klaus Schwab declared that all aspects of our societies and economies need to be radically restructured. Even our thinking and behavior will have to dramatically change. Now, don't think that doesn't include sports and churches and homes and families, because they mean everything. From country, every country, from the United States to China, must participate. And every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed. Everything that you know about everything must change. And the way you think about it has also got to change. This is what Schwab insists. And he's calling for stronger and more effective global government. We must build entirely new foundations for our economic and social systems. So it's not just burning things down the foundations and rebuilding. No, even the foundations have to be blown up, and they've got to build new foundations. And you may think, what whacked out imbeciles came up with this? Would you believe that the leaders of virtually every government on earth signed this declaration, including the South African government, by the way? And yes, the EU and Britain and America and Australia and Canada, of course. So virtually every government on earth signed Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. 171 national leaders were gathered in Rio and put their signatures and stamps to this. In his book, COVID and the Great Reset, Schwab insists that life must never be allowed to return to normal. The world as we knew it in the early months of 2020 is no more, dissolved in the context of the pandemic. He also said the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Now, don't think he started thinking about this in 2020. They started thinking about this decades before. In fact, 1992 had the Great Reset already in it in Rio, and of course in 2012. Klaus Schwab said, adding that the looming changes are so huge that we can speak of a BC and an AC, a before coronavirus and an after coronavirus era. We'll change the dates in future. 2020 will be the new year one, AC. Schwab also called for a change in mindsets. The most important issue, the most important thing is to get thought criminals like us to think differently. We have to bring our thinking and behavior into harmony. So forget about this diversity and respecting different people's opinions. There's only one opinion that you can have. Everything else is a thought crime. Simple. Now is the historic moment, the time not only to fight the virus, but to shape the system for the post-corona era. Now just look at this Slime magazine cover. I don't know if you can see it, but can you see the date? The date is the 2nd of November 2020. What happened on the 2nd of November 2020? The freest election that America ever had in its life. Free and fair elections. 2nd of November 2020. This is the Great Reset, and they've timed it on when we're going to have the biggest steal of votes ever seen in American history. Not that we in Africa are not used to that sort of thing, but for the Americans it might have been a shock. And notice what it says, the Great Reset, and what's on the right? By Klaus Schwab. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he's taking credit on the cover of Slime magazine. And here you can see scaffolding around the whole globe, and they're taking whole panels off. They're going to redo everything. The Great Reset. Others in Time magazine spoke about the great reckoning. This is the moment to change the world. Now, bear in mind, we all know now that the coronavirus wasn't an accident. It was a man-made virus in a laboratory. So, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens in politics, you can bet it was planned to happen that way. Now, those advocating the Great Reset even admit that the World Economic Forum founder, Klaus Schwab, was working on the agenda for many decades. So this isn't something like, we got a coronavirus. You know, this is an opportunity, we should reset everything. No, they were planning it decades before they even started to concoct the coronavirus in the lab. Schwab's vision for the fourth industrial revolution is a key component of the Great Reset. And this involves merging man and machine into transhumanism. Now, the first time I heard the word transhumanism, remember Professor Peter Bauhaus was from Germany, and we were interviewing him for Radio Tigerberg, and he spoke about transhumanism, and I was like, what? And he's also warning us years before about gender fluidity. And at the time, I thought, surely not. But he called it. I mean, he was on the cusp. Professor Bauhaus warned us years before it came into popularity. Transhumanism is real, and it's here already. And he says it's going to be a revolution that will fundamentally alter the way we live, work, and relate to one another. The transformation, he maintains, will be unlike anything humankind has experienced before, bringing together all stakeholders of the global polity. Changing, now, here we're quoting from Prince Charles, and you see who he's hugging here. This is Klaus Schwab. And yes, Prince Charles is a great buddy of the World Economic Forum and a regular speaker. So, quoting Prince Charles, changing our current trajectory will require bold and imaginative action together with determination and decisive leadership. We need to evolve our economic model. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift, one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. Now, when royals and socialists and globalists share the same agenda, it's time to get concerned. This map shows that countries in green have got less than 1% growth rate, which is like almost a population growth rate. It's like you're going to die. That's how bad it is. The ones in red are over 3% growth rate. So you can see that North America and Northern Europe are basically in decline. They're having less children are being born than people who are dying. They're not replacing themselves. They're not growing. Then society is in decline. So you can see what's coming here. Now, while Prince Charles is a fervent advocate of population control, when you hear population control, think abortion, sterilization, LGBTQ, all that stuff. And of course, heavily tax the family to force the mother out of the home into the workplace, because mothers in the workplace will have less children. Just, it's a demographic fact. Prince Philip, the Prince of Edinburgh, was even more blunt, and he famously declared, "In the event that I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation." I mean, that just isn't even funny. That's actually kind of what person thinks like that. But this dangerous attitude is widespread amongst elites, especially those advocating the Great Reset. They even have expressed great joy and delight at anything that lowers the population. You know, we're talking about cyclones, floods, diseases, epidemics, cholera. Yay, another few million people dead. This is a good start, but what we need is something more fundamental than that. So in 2014, the Rothschild banking dynasty and the Rockefeller Foundation, two of the richest families on the planet, sponsored a summit in London on inclusive capitalism. That's what it says, inclusive capitalism. And they included as their speakers Prince Charles and the IMF chief Christine Lagarde and former US President Bill Clinton, Bank of England boss Mark Carney, the former US Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, top CEOs of all the big banks and corporations on earth, pension fund bosses, participants reportedly represent about one-third of the world's wealth. I think they might have been modest there. They probably represent more than half. Quoting Karl Marx about capitalism supposedly carrying the seeds of its own destruction, IMF boss Lagarde called for global wealth redistribution. And how do you do this? More taxation, more government. At the top of the agenda was getting companies to put shareholder interests aside in favor of Agenda 21 draconian UN visions of sustainable development. So UN agreements are serving as foundations for the emerging New World Order. In UN Agenda 2030, also known as Sustainable Development Goals, every national government, every dictatorship on earth agreed to dictate to the Great Reset. You had all of them. Over 171 countries happily putting their commitment to Agenda 2030. In Goal 10, UN members pledged to reduce inequality within and amongst countries. Now, when they say reduce inequality, do you think they mean raising the living standards of the poor? No. It means bringing everyone's living standards down. And the poor get even poorer. So this is, you know, when you think removing inequality, most I think, that sounds like a good goal. And if it was raising people up, it would be a good goal. But the goal is to bring everyone down, make everyone poorer, like what was done during the lockdown. Destroy businesses, of course, it hurts the poor people the worst. The middle class gets wiped out, but the rich get even richer. The billionaires, like Ramaphosa, were having to tighten their belts, you can be sure. Rockefeller didn't do that. But the poor guys on the corner, an average person trying to eke out a living, they suffered. As the UN document also makes clear, international socialism is needed. International socialism is needed to battle inequality among countries even. Not just amongst individuals, but amongst countries. You've got to pull America and the G7 countries down, pull up others. Well, actually, no, not pull up others, just pull everyone down. So by 2030, they've got to ensure that all have equal rights to economic resources. The document demands sounds suspiciously like the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Manifesto, and it sounds just like the Communist Manifesto, which, as you've heard me point out before, is exactly like Sabote Zevi's documents of Sabotianism. Same goals. The United Nations document also calls on governments to seize control over production and consumables. It prescribes government-controlled healthcare systems for all. Now, I mean, simple question you could ask anywhere on the planet. If you had a choice, and money was no object, if you had a choice between a private school or government school, which would you choose? If you had a choice between private hospital or a government hospital, which would you choose? I mean, it's like a foolish answer, question. It's rhetorical. And so when they say they want to have all health socialized, all controlled by governments, not just controlled by governments, but by international governments like the UN or WHO, I don't think that inspires a lot of confidence in most people. What they're basically saying is remove choice from people. It demands that children be educated to the point that they don't just agree with the ideology underpinning the scheme, but actually are prepared to promote it. Now, notice this isn't one of my pictures. This is their picture. This is UNESCO's picture. These cutouts, you know, when you fold the paper and you cut it out and then you fill it out, and they're all the same. Well, yes. That's their picture. Every kid has to think the same, look the same, be the same. So this is UNESCO's picture of education for all. It basically means all must learn to think the same way. That's really what it means. Goal 4, under education. This will be the key to achieving all the other goals. In Chapter 36 of UN Agenda 21, an earlier United Nations Sustainability Agreement signed by every government on Earth, the document says education will be indispensable to changing people's attitudes, and that's why education by the state must be mandatory for all. You may think, what about independent schools? What about private schools? What about Christian schools? What about homeschools? Well, they are saying everybody must receive the same education. And so obviously their goal is to insist on everybody the same textbooks, the same curriculum, the same standards, the same comprehensive sexuality education, occultism, whatever, the whole deal. Instead of owning property and the necessities of life, The WEF video declares you will rent. Nobody will own anything. Everyone will rent. From the States, of course. Apparently, whatever you want will be magically delivered by drone. They literally are excited about the idea that your pizzas will be delivered by drone. Everything you want will be delivered by drone. But these drones, of course, will be owned by the state. So you may wonder, if the state controls everything, won't you get into trouble? Yes, you will. Because in China, they've already got social credits. If you have posted a negative thing on social media or you have liked something that is, you will lose points. And after a certain amount of points, you can get into trouble. And so you go and you try to get a loan for this or whatever, or you want to get promoted or you want to get passed into the next standard or grade. But you made these and these comments on social media. You've lost these points. You wore the wrong T-shirt. You ordered the wrong thing. You read the wrong website. And literally, your social credit system, which they bring into action in Australia, they want to bring into Canada, they've got it in China, this is being advocated, that if you need the state for everything, they can now spy on everything, control everything, and big tech, big government, big pharma, they're all working together. And in this way, if you don't toe the line, they will make sure you starve. That's their goal. Moreover, this World Economic Forum video claims 1 billion people will migrate from the third world nations to settle in the West, mostly Europe, owing to alleged man-made climate change. Now, of course, they've been bringing Europe's population down for a long time. The world wars were a nice start for them. But, of course, sterilization, abortion, euthanasia, and all these other things, really, and LGBT, they've brought down Europe's population so that now they can have others move in and take over from the old dying-off population who's not replacing themselves. Westerners must welcome these refugees, it insists. So this WEF video claims that the future will be propertyless and borderless. There'll be no borders and there'll be no property. So who owns everything? The state. So the Great Reset wants to eliminate national sovereignty, nation's independence. They want to destroy and replace the entire free market economic system. You're not meant to have choices. They want to eliminate property. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. And of course, they've got to abolish Christianity because Christianity, that's not toe the line. And they want a cashless society. Because you see, if you go, say you're going to the shop and you want to buy ammunition for your 9mm. Card declines because the card says, no, you're not allowed to buy ammo. Or you manage to have this, that, and the other opinions on social media, therefore you're not allowed to use your account. Your account's frozen, a la Trudeau in Canada. You say, well, what about cash? Well, they're trying to move the world to a cashless society where you won't have the chance for cash. And they will have a universal income. Everyone will get a certain amount from state if you behave yourself. Because if you don't behave yourself, you don't get the cash. Communist leaders, like this Chinese dictator, notice, big-time capitalist, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, dictator of China, commie, capitalist. Don't worry, they're friends. The communist leaders, like the head of the worst mass murderers on the planet, the worst, most totalitarian governments on the planet, communist China, they are enthusiastic for Agenda 21. They love Agenda 2030. They're completely supporting the World Economic Forum. So if you thought the capitalists and the communists were enemies, not actually, not really, not when you get behind the scenes and to this level. And communist China's happily joining forces with the biggest capitalist multinational corporations and big business CEOs. They're working together. I wonder how many of you ever saw the old film Red Dawn? It came out in the 1980s. That was quite popular at the time. Real Ronald Reagan era anti-communist film. Well, they rebooted it recently for a new generation. And the whole film was filmed on Red China invades the United States of America. Makes sense. I mean, they've got people and equipment. And so the film was made. The entire film was finished. They were almost finished editing. And Red China called in the head of whatever film company made it and said, not acceptable. At the cost of $1 million, they got a company to go in and re-edit out of the finished film every reference to Red China, and they put North Korean flags, North Korean everything. They had to change every single thing that referred to Red China or had a Chinese term and so on, and put in North Korean, $1 million editing job, delayed the release of the film, just to please the communists. I mean, that just shows the kind of power they have. But in many cases, the American film industry in Hollywood is, many of the companies are now owned by Red China. And you'll never see anything critical of Red China in the average film. They will do anything but upset Red China. So that even James Bond films, if there's a Red Chinese agent, and she's an ally of James Bond, not an enemy, you know. So they're all pushing Agenda 21 scheme. The mass murdering regime enslaving communist China boasted in their propaganda organs that they played a crucial role in developing Agenda 2030. So, no wonder they're happy with it. They helped write it. Basically, the Great Reset is communism. So the Great Reset is the Great Revolution. This is Marxism. WEF leader Klaus Schwab, the most prominent marketer of the Great Reset, wrote a book with that title, and he also proclaimed that a key element of the reset will be the Fourth Industrial Revolution. How many people here understand what the Fourth Industrial Revolution means? I felt like that too when I first heard about it. In very public statements, he has explained what this means is merging man with machines. What the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. Not only has he written it in the book, but he explained in a speech at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. And in this book, Shaping the Future of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, A Guide to Building a Better World. Well, that's his opinion. This globalist schema, Klaus Schwab explained how looming technological changes will allow governments to intrude into the hitherto private spaces of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior. If you think this sounds like fiction, unfortunately not. The Fourth Industrial Revolution technologies will not stop it becoming part of the physical world around us. They will become part of us. Indeed, our smartphones have become an extension of ourselves. By the way, in Red China, everybody must have a smartphone, and you must always have it on you. And the government's clear why, so they can track you. They can listen into conversations, they can track where you are exactly, and if you're caught on the street without your smartphone with you, I mean, it's jail time, it's serious. You have to have your smartphone with you at all times so that you can be tracked. And even when it's switched off, they can still listen in on your conversations from it. The technology exists, and it's being used in China very seriously. Now, the Fourth Industrial Revolution technologies will not stop it becoming part of the physical world around us, you know, like Bluetooth and so on. They'll become part of us. Today's external devices, from wearable computers to virtual reality headsets, will almost certainly become implantable in our bodies and our brains. Among those technologies are active implantable microchips that break the skin barrier of our bodies. Now, already we have chips that we can have implanted in our cats or dogs. If they get lost, they can be scanned and found. That's just the beginning. They've got far more sophisticated devices for humans now. These implanted devices will also help to communicate thoughts, normally expressed verbally through built-in smartphone and potentially unexpressed thoughts and moods by reading brainwaves and other signals. Schwab suggests that these technologies would be used by governments to determine who may travel or not, and for pre-crime purposes. So as law enforcement agencies and courts can use techniques to determine the likelihood of criminal activity, assess guilt, to even possibly retrieve memories directly from people's brains, will increase a detailed brain scan to assess an individual's security risk. So you can now get, you'll be able to be arrested for pre-crimes because of thoughts you had, because you were intending or considering or contemplating a crime or a thought crime perhaps. And so they will be able to monitor people's thoughts if one's stupid enough to get these blasted things implanted in one's brains, that is. And you can get prosecuted for something you haven't done yet, but which you might have thought of. Can you imagine? When you talk about thought police, this takes things to a whole new level. Every year, the World Economic Forum brings together billionaires and mass murdering dictators from all over the world to promote globalism and technocracy under the guise of helping humanity. And yes, you can imagine it includes the Gateses and, yes, the Thabo Mbekis, of course, and criminals like that. Who is this British Prime Minister?
Tony Blair.
Who I quite agree with Toots on that one. He should be tried as a war criminal too. Bono, you know, and dictators and what have you. So, yes, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter, they're all there. Billionaires like George Soros, of course, are very key players in the World Economic Forum. And even disgraced climate guru, one-time Vice President Al Gore, serves on the World Economic Forum board. Remember, he's the one who predicted in the year 2000 that by 2013 there'll be no more ice at the North or South Pole. Global warming will have flooded the whole world because all the ice packs will have melted and Cape Town will be, kilometres underwater, something like that, and so on. So even though he's been proven to be a seriously false prophet, he's been shrilling for the Great Reset, and John Kerry, who was once Secretary of State, Skull and Bones member, obviously they're all there. At the 2018 World Government Summit at the United Arab Emirates, top globalists and world leaders gathered to push, amongst other things, the normalization and the glorification of cyborgs. The summit in UAE offered a prominent role to cyborg called Neil Harbison, who argued that governments must facilitate the transition to becoming part technology, part human. I have an antenna that's implanted inside my head, which allows me to extend my perception of reality beyond the visual spectrum. So Harbison is co-founder of the Cyborg Society and the Trans Species Society. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's just ridiculous. The Trans Species Society, which is fighting for the rights of people to identify as non-human. I can sense infrared and ultraviolet, and I have an internet connection in my head which allows me to receive from other parts of the world or connect to satellites so I can send from space. Well, he's probably orbiting space. You know, when you speak about someone being a space cadet, well, there you've got an example. The year before, the globalists at the World Government Summit in 2017 gathered under a replica of the Arch of Baal, a monument to the demon god of the Canaanites, who required to sacrifice the firstborn, remember? So, frequently referred to in the Bible, can you imagine, and yet all of these world leaders gathering for photos under the Arch of Baal? An ominous sign. Now, Professor Yuval Noah Harari has stated at the Council for Ethics and International Affairs, it is very likely within a century or so that Homo sapiens, as we have known it for thousands of years, will disappear. Human extinction. We will use technology to upgrade ourselves, or at least some of us. I mean, of course, a lot of people aren't worth upgrading. They'll just be recycled or something. Into something different. Something which is far more different from us as we are from the Neanderthals. So the idea is that they're going to be so advanced from the humans as we know it now that they'll be, you know, way above, because they're going to transform into trans-species, cyborgs, transhumans. Now, of course, transhumanism requires a rejection of Christian moral principles, a negation of fundamental truths about humanity and reality as revealed in the Bible. So all those who value truth and tradition and faith and family and freedom must resist this great reset. Aside from the fusion of machines and technology, globalist elites are also pushing for genetic modification of everything, not just of crops. They want to genetically modify humans. In fact, Microsoft tycoon Bill Gates has openly pushed for these schemes. In 2018, he touted gene editing technology in foreign affairs. Foreign Affairs is the primary magazine mouthpiece of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a Bilderberger, New World Order, Illuminati bunch. More recently, he celebrated vaccines that literally alter the genetic code of those who receive them. His vaccines have the ability to change the genetic code of the people. And he claims you can change people's moods and attitudes and even their behavior and actions with the technology that they have available. And he's put billions into that research. The New American Magazine is one of the few that have been exposing the Great Reset. And there are a bunch of interesting books, including those written by the enemy, such as Klaus Schwab on the Great Reset. So these are important things for us to understand. This man-made virus, which everybody on Earth will get, if we haven't got it already, we will get it. Maybe there's some hermits in the Himalayas who might avoid it, but virtually everybody on the planet will get it. It's been designed to be so contagious. Masks can't stop it. Sanitizing can't stop it. Social distancing can't stop it. Vaccines certainly haven't stopped it. Lockdowns haven't stopped it. And it was designed for a reason. Remember, communists present a problem so that they can offer a solution. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And why was it called the China virus? Well, when I asked Donald Trump, why do you call it the China virus? Because it came from China. Well, it should also be called the Communist Party of China virus. And we have seen what it did, ripped up the world, a new excuse for tyrants and dictators to control people, to beat people, to walk around and whack people, whip people, to mobilize their thugs around the world, to intimidate, line up here, let us point a laser gun type instrument at your forehead. I mean, what kind of sick sadist comes up with this? This is child abuse, this is nasal rape. All this nonsense that they come out with, all this charade that they are forcing through, this COVID cult has given them an opportunity for unprecedented state interference, and the COVID-19 hysteria programming that has gone on just pumping people's heads. The amount of people, anyone who watches the lamestream mainstream media is terrified of going out. And even if they were allowed to go out without masks, they probably would. COVID can stand for control, oppress, victimize, isolate, and divide. Of course, Dr. Fauci, who hasn't practiced medicine in a good 20 years, at least, he has sponsored child abuse like this. I mean, this is sick. How can you lock up kids like this? And what must that child feel like? I mean, this child abuse, stop destroying our kids' lives indeed. And then they said, the way out of this to return to normal is just get this vaccine, just get the jab, and everything will go back to normal. But you get the jab, and then you've still got a mask, and you've still got to test, and you've still got to socially distance, and you can still get COVID, and you can still give COVID, and then you're going to need a booster shot, and you need another booster shot, and so on and so forth. In some countries, up to the fifth booster shot. And then Justin Trudeau is triple vaccinated, and he still gets COVID. So, you know, what's the point? Even our President Cyril, in his State of the Union address, he actually admits that although he is double vaccinated, he got COVID. And he says, imagine how much worse it would have been if I hadn't been vaccinated. You know, when I got vaccinated against yellow fever to go into the Congo, I believed it would protect me from yellow fever. I never worried about the fact that most people I met didn't have yellow fever inoculation, and I didn't get yellow fever. So I assumed that the vaccination worked. But now you've got a vaccination that doesn't guarantee you won't get it or share it. That's not a vaccination, at least not the way we used to historically think of it. So Bill Gates, who wants to depopulate the world, suddenly wants to save everyone with his vaccines. In fact, he spoke about the way to depopulate the world is through forced vaccinations. And it's been proven why, because hundreds of thousands of girls in Kenya who got vaccinated by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for polio actually were being sterilized. And that's been proven, documented. Governments love pandemics. They love pandemics for the same reason they love war. It gives them the ability to impose controls on the population that the population would never otherwise accept, creating institutions and mechanisms for orchestrating imposing obedience. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has documented in his Children's Health Defense and the Truth About Vaccines, the Center for Disease Control is not an independent agency. It's a vaccine company. They own over 20 vaccine patents. They sell billions of dollars of vaccines every year. And we trust these people. They are completely, they're not just in bed with the vaccine producers. They are vaccine producers. Vaccines are now a racket. As Bill Gates said, it's the best investment you ever made. Where else can you get 1,000% return on your investment? It is one of the biggest money-making records on the planet. So forgive me for not trusting an industry that financially depends on me being sick. The big pharma does not exist to create cures, they exist to create customers. And when you read about all the hideous things, the ingredients in these vaccinations, would you want to eat an apple that had those ingredients in them? No, you would not. And aborted baby fetal tissue as well. And nevertheless, loving mothers line up and hold their babies and go along and get these criminals to stick who knows what into them. I mean, what are they thinking? Do not be coerced. It cannot be reversed. You should not need an exemption to opt out of a medical procedure that has death as a possible adverse reaction. And the maker of the COVID tests, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, said the pandemic is the biggest hoax ever perpetrated. How can you tell if the truth is being told? And Facebook blocks it, Twitter deletes it, Google hides it, YouTube bans it, your government forbids it, and the media brands it a conspiracy theory. If you can't question it, it's not science, it's just propaganda. And Dr. Fleming claims that COVID-19 is a bioweapon, forensically proven. I mean, it's produced in a biological warfare laboratory in Wuhan in China, which, by the way, has the head is a general who wrote a book back in 2013 about asymmetrical warfare and unrestricted warfare, saying that China's at war with the West, specifically Europe and North America, and that they can't win a conventional war against them, and they need to use bioweapons, and they must use pandemics and economic warfare. And he's the general charge of the laboratory out of which the virus came. But don't worry, no conspiracy here, obviously an accident. So in 2021, the great reset is Klaus Schwab will reset your bank account, and Bill Gates will reset your DNA. And so we need the great resistance. Masks are muzzles, and we should have a choice over our body when it really is our body. Mandatory masks are wrong, and it's, in fact, not the new normal. And so from the beginning, there have been some standing up and demonstrating and protesting and wanting their life back. And in America, in the Senate, they've got a very brave man in Ron Paul. He has been extremely courageous, and he's done the most in exposing Fauci for the criminal he is, and for the lies and deception, and for what he did in investing in and funding gain of function in the Wuhan laboratory, tests that would be completely illegal in America. In Zimbabwe, people are saying no to Gates poison. We don't want the gates of hell here. We are not guinea pigs. No unsafe vaccination. Good comments there. I like this one. There's nothing more unattractive than muzzled up obedient men. True. And at Cape Town, we've been part of the demonstrations from the very beginning in 2020. I'm not a lab rat, no vac for me. We don't need no vaccination, we need hugs, not drugs. PCR tests are 97% false positive, which is true. I have my immune system, why do I need a vaccination? Love is more contagious than fear. Unmask our kids. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Control a sheep, COVID vaccines. Nuremberg trials, remember the Nuremberg Code on Medical Ethics forbids any medical procedure without the informed consent of a person. And it's not informed consent if you aren't told what the possible adverse reactions are, what's in it, and you've been coerced. Many people are taking the vaccination not because they want to, but because they need to keep the job or to travel. That's not informed consent. Yes, say no to the prick. I do not consent. Take your poisons and shove it. I'm no lab rat. And these are some of the people we've had at our demonstrations. Keep calm and don't experimental vaccine. And it is an experimental vaccine. There's no way they can say it's been fully tested. Well, even when we wanted to march to Parliament, they forbade us to march. They insisted we wear masks. And we said, but we're demonstrating against masks. We can't wear them if we're demonstrating against them. So they brought all these police, with riot shields no less, to try and prevent us from marching. I mean, honestly. Nevertheless, we just had to have the meeting in the parking lot on this occasion. But you can see the spirits, good attitudes, enthusiastic people, friendly atmosphere, and I must say, responsive. In Cape Town, we've had a good, strong stand against ending COVID tyranny from the beginning. And the most respected voice in Cape Town has been Dr. Susan Fosloo, heart transplant surgeon since 1988 and head of infectious diseases at Frederiksberg Hospital. And she said that you're more in danger from the vaccine than you are from the virus. Next thing, they were damning her to hell. What does she know? Idiot, imbecile, fool. Should be stripped of her medical credentials, not allowed to practice medicine again, and so on. So we went and had a demonstration outside Frederiksberg to support Dr. Susan Fosloo. Well, when I got home, my wife was getting hate mail because how could your husband do such a hateful, evil thing? What did he do? demonstrating it's the poor, hard-working nurses and doctors of Grootegeluk Hospital who have been sacrificing their lives to serve the people who are suffering and dying of COVID. And he comes and, what a hurtful thing. Where did they get this from? So we went on ETV and SATV. They were claiming that we were demonstrating against the doctors and nurses at Critters Care. We were demonstrating in support of a doctor who was being attacked in professional capacity for making a stand. And so how they suddenly turned it into we were attacking the medical people at Critters Care, it just shows the fake news. Well, there's also true news. We had Loving Light Life from Australia having their people covering it. So it's not the virus that they want to control, it's you. It's always about the control of people. We do not consent to medical tyranny. Who's Dr. Susan Fosloo? Who they said they were calling her an idiot, an imbecile, what does she know, fool. Since 1988, South Africa's premier heart transplant surgeon, who knows more about heart transplants and more about the human heart than any of the critics out there. And she says that the COVID-19 vaccines have been showing to be a tremendous risk, especially for young men. Young men are particularly at risk of blood clots, heart attacks, and strokes after getting the vaccine, and that you're far more at risk from the vaccine than you are from the virus. And yet they were demanding that she be stripped of her credentials and her degrees and not allowed to practice medicine. Now that's the kind of hate. And they say, follow the science and trust the doctors, but you're not allowed to trust the doctors or follow the science if it doesn't agree with them. Here's a nurse who spent 573 days face-to-face with COVID patients, unvaccinated, never got COVID because she has an immune system. Now they want her fired, not allowed to practice medicine because she won't get the vax. Why does she need the vax? Well, as we are identifying ourselves things, this man said he's trans-vaccinated. He's not actually vaccinated, but he identifies someone who's vaccinated. Does that count? Or does that only work for the Olympics? So they say the vaccines are 90% effective, but you've got a 99% chance of survival from COVID. So, you know, as this person says, don't be an idiot. Health is not found in a syringe, and that's a fact. Make yourself she, and the wolves will eat you. Back to normal now. Panic-demic. In fact, I'd call it also a propaganda-demic. The demonstrations worldwide, I don't know how many people have seen this on the fake news media, but I don't think SATV or BBC or ETV are going to tell you this, but these are the kind of demonstrations. In fact, JP, you were there in Trafalgar Square in London, and looks like a lot of people to me, but this is just a lunatic fringe of tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists that doesn't represent the people of England at all. This is just, you know, just a few lunatic fringe people, they say. No to mandatory vaccines. Mass poverty is far more deadly than COVID. The lockdown has been far more dangerous than the virus ever was. When people say that you lost your jobs or your income because of the virus, nonsense. It was because of the lockdown regulations. All over the world, there's been demonstrations. People saying, I will not be masked, tested, tracked, or poisoned. This will not be my new normal. Vaccines have been known to cause seizures. Protect our religious freedoms. Your body, my choice. But vaccines can cause serious injuries. How much is too much? Why, if it's so safe and effective, does it need to be mandatory? Parents should have the say over their children. And yet, even in this country, they're trying to pass legislation to allow the schools to give vaccinations to kids at school without the parents' knowledge or permission. It's outrageous. It's completely unacceptable. Medical mandates violate human rights. Vaccine mandates violate bodily integrity. Medical tyranny is the new civil rights issue. Vaccines, the more you know, the more you know. Very good sign. Jesus Christ was not vaccinated. He's our example. And the Constitution protects our religious freedom. This is a religious issue. And when they say it's not a religious issue, how can any Christian take a vaccine that includes aborted baby fetal tissue? Any Christian who's pro-life cannot, in good conscience, take part in something that's been produced by killing babies. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has put his weight behind this tremendous movement in his Children's Health Defense. Well, it's obviously all about your health. That's why the police throttle people who try and protest. And you can see all over the world, like Australia, tremendous amount of tyranny just whacking people, cracking down on people, beating people up. It's just shocking. And don't you just like hear how they're trying to stop the journalists doing their job of getting pictures of what, while they're beating up? I mean, how many policemen are on that one poor soul? And it's just, is this right? Shoving people's heads into the tarmac. And this kind of abuse, isn't it funny? They wouldn't treat BLM rioters like this, who are burning things down, but peaceful protesters like this freedom keeper in Australia, they can lock up. And look at the tattooed arms of this policewoman. She looks like a gangster. And forcing a mask on somebody who's a protester against masks while the person's handcuffed. This kind of assault, what is a policeman trying to kick someone for? It looks like a woman he's trying to kick too. I mean, this is now tyranny, exactly. Look at the phenomenal amount, that's all pepper spray and tear gas type things being thrown at them. And the amount of police and the amount of force use, and JP, do you know what it is they're spraying there? Probably been on a receiving end.
Sometimes they mix water and tear gas.
Yeah, I mean, this just looks pretty excessive to me. When the state commands that which God forbids or forbids that which God commands, we must obey God rather than men. And that includes, you shall not gather together for worship. How is it you can shop together but you can't worship together? How come the shops could stay open but the churches couldn't? How does the abortion clinics stay open but not the churches? How could even the liquor stores be open before the churches were allowed to be open? And so in Canada, we're seeing the greatest part of the great resistance. Canada is probably the last place on earth that I expected to see any protests. But here they are leading the world in mandate freedom, hold the line. And the truck drivers who, let's face it, truck drivers must be some of the most independent people on earth. They're not truck drivers because they want some supervisor breathing down their neck, let alone some state telling them what to do. So all over Canada, you are seeing these truckers on the move. They talk about thousands of trucks. I mean, it's a huge one. And by the way, last year, they were heroes for supplying people during the COVID-19 lockdown. Now they're zeros. No, they're worse than zeros. They're terrorists. And according to Justin Trudeau, they are Nazis, racists, misogynists, and he used a whole lot of other horrible words against them. All of the truckers, apparently, he says, even though he hasn't spoken to any of them. But they're doing this for everyone's freedom. My rights don't end where your fear begins. No mandates. Freedom, very eloquent. And by the way, these are just a few fringe elements. As Justin Trudeau said, they do not represent Canadians. And Justin Trudeau said he is sickened by the sight of so many racist flags out there. And, well, I must say, the only flags I can really see are the Canadian ones. Notice the sign, sorry for your 45 minutes of inconvenience while I fight for your freedom. And you see, they weren't trying to stop traffic everywhere, but of course, convoys like this could slow down and be inconvenient. Do you know that even in Ottawa, they've got lanes open for normal traffic? They're not blocking the whole roads, at least not the ones in Ottawa, at least. Freedom, stop all vaccine mandates. I mean, this is pretty impressive. I don't think the world has seen anything like this. I don't think I've ever come across protests like this in my life before. And these are huge. And these truckers, they said at every overpass, huge amounts of people waving Canadian flags in the streets, on the sides of the roads, massive amounts of support. And of course, well, they do encounter some police obstacles here and there. But I saw a video just earlier today of how in Alberta, the police and the truckers were hugging one another and praying together and singing the national anthem together. So each state is not, or province is not equal. There's a lot of goodwill amongst many of the police for them too. And so they've gone to Ottawa, the Freedom Convoy is headed to their parliament building, and they're making a simple standard, freedom. End all mandates, end all lockdowns, no jabs for jobs, no communism for Canada. That's a good point there. Justin, can you hear me now? They're using their horns. And this is pretty impressive. What's even more impressive is how clean they are. They're cleaning up the streets. Crime in Ottawa has plummeted down. They've cleaned up the streets, the monuments. They're keeping things safer. This is a very well thought out symbol. Instead of the maple leaf in the center, they've got the red star, communist star. And the sickle with, instead of the hammer, the needle. So the sickle and needle and the star. Canada is meant to be strong and free. That comes from their anthem. And so downtown Ottawa looks pretty impressive. Now, different groups of truckers have done other things, such as a group of truckers went and blocked the Ambassador Bridge. Now, personally, I don't know that that was a good idea. It got attention. It's one thing to go to Parliament. Is it a quarter or is it 40%? Something like 25% of all Canadian-American traffic goes over this bridge. And it closed down for several days. And that was very disruptive. I think they should have done it for a few hours and then gone home. You know, made their point on how important. But unfortunately, they stayed there long enough to justify Justin Trudeau having a nationwide emergency measures to remove them. I think that was a pity. For them to have blocked the traffic there for a few hours, I think was probably a good move, even though the trouble is you're impeding a lot of other people's activities. They're protesting against Justin Trudeau shutting down the country for 2 years. So it's understandable why some think, well, we're going to shut it down for a few hours or a few days. But I think once you get into this sort of thing where you're interfering with so many other people's businesses, you're moving from protesting into actually being a lawbreaker yourself. So the demonstrates that Ottawa don't agree with the truckers at Ambassador Bridge. Ambassador Bridge finally was cleared by police action, which is unfortunate. Now, Justin Trudeau is demanding the protesters to stop shutting down the city so he can shut down the city. In fact, all the cities and the country, too. You know, that's my job to shut down the economy, not yours, sir. Well, there's Candace Bergen, who's the new Conservative leader in Canada and the opposition leader. And I must say, I find her an excellent speaker. She's been courageous. She's been powerful. If you want to hear some of the most well-articulated arguments against Justin Trudeau's actions, get onto her Facebook page, go onto the websites and see some of the videos. She's the new Conservative Party leader and has done an excellent job in Parliament. Well, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's a personal friend of Klaus Schwab, and by the way, he and his family get millions of dollars out of the vaccine industry in Canada every year as well. They are not... in fact, he's violated the ethics and conflicts of interest laws of Canada as well. He's invoked the Emergencies Act for the first time to squash the ongoing Freedom Convoy protests against the Wuhan coronavirus restrictions, potentially giving Canadian leader sweeping emergency power. So Canada is at this moment not operating as a democracy or as a constitutional democracy, but as a dictatorship. Now, several provincial premiers have come out against the implementation of the Emergencies Act, and already several of the provinces have already abolished all COVID restrictions and mandates in their provinces, including Saskatchewan. Conservative Premier Scott Moe has publicly stated he's opposed to the Emergency Act measure. Saskatchewan does not support the Trudeau government invoking the Emergency Act. If the federal government does proceed with this measure, I would hope it would only be invoked in provinces that request it, as the legislation allows. Alberta Premier Jason Kendi also stated his opposition, saying, "We have the legal powers that we need. We have the operational resource that we need to enforce. And I think at this point, for the federal government to reach in over the top of us without offering anything in particular would frankly be unhelpful." In Manitoba, where a blockade was set up at the border town of Emerson, the Premier, Heather Stephenson, released a statement saying she did not support the Emergencies Act by Trudeau either. "In my view, the sweeping effects and signals associated with the never-before-used Emergency Act are not constructive here in Manitoba, where caution must be taken against overreach and unintended negative consequences. While the situation is very different in Ontario, this ultimate federal legislation should only be considered on a measured and proportional basis in locations where it's truly needed." Because right now, Canada's effectively a dictatorship, and that's not the way it's meant to be. François Legault, the Premier of the French-speaking province of Quebec, has also come out against the Emergency Act, saying, "I think that I was very clear with the Prime Minister that the Federal Emergencies Act must not apply in Quebec. No government has the right to interfere in the cultural mandate or the Great Commission." Civil authorities have greatly exceeded and overreached themselves and exceeded their authority when they infringe on the essential activities of employers and employees, economic or agricultural enterprise, or the fulfillment of the creation mandate and the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are some T-shirts that are now all the rage in Canada and around the world. No to mandatory vaccines. Freedom Convoy. Mandate freedom. And I identify as a Canadian trucker. These are some of the good ones. This madness, this lockdown lunacy, and this corona cult ends when we all say no. This COVID cult, we must not comply with. And now many other countries are being inspired to set up their own freedom convoys. And all over the world, you are seeing freedom convoys from America, Sweden, Finland, Australia, Germany, Czech Republic, all the way through to Switzerland, Latvia, Poland, Spain, Austria. Very impressive. New Zealand, incredibly, has had demonstrations. Unfortunately, their people who went to their parliament were all arrested. In Australia, this is the parliament in Canberra, in Australia. And they had a small march of a few fringe elements this last weekend. In Berlin, huge march, which the police said was over 1,000. People looking at the steps was more like over 1,000,000. Journalists aren't always very good at maths and numbers. But the scripture says that we should pray that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What we're dealing with is nothing less than Marxism. We need to smash this great reset with great resistance.